Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, we missing a Visky, but he's out on assignment, dude. He's taking care of Bruh-Migos business, but we still are Bruh-Migos podcast. And today, NBA Finals preview. We definitely going to talk some MLB. No, we got a few names, you know, and a few theories about, you know, maybe Shohei Ohtani becoming a switch hitter. Rob has talked to y'all about his Cardinals fandom. Mm-hmm. We also must talk a little boxing international news, and we're going to do all of that today. Bruh-Migos podcast, what we got to do, Rob?
We're going
to
hit that music like we always do.
4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Rob.
What up?
Look, I feel like I have a little bit of scientific proof here for the people today.
What you gonna tell them?
And it's why you need to have my bro hate on your team. Rob is a professional hater. He's one of the best of the best. Whenever he hates,
I'm here.
He gives your team a scientifically proven advantage. Rob, go ahead and let the people know how we've come to this conclusion.
So you know you have HAH, now you got ROB. See, now here you got a guy, me, a hater extraordinaire. And let's talk about what I've done as far as enhancing a team's success when it comes to hate. So look, if y'all didn't watch last night, epic game. Two of the reigning MVPs set squared off against each other with big ass Aaron Judge versus big ass Shohei Ohtani. We're gonna talk about that for in a minute. But like, they basically faced off each other. Home run in the first for both of them. Knocked it. But who ended up being the victor of that game? Who, Nate? Who?
It was the Los Angeles Dodgers.
L.A., you basically got that. And you want to know why? Guess who? Who?
And they got that against Max Fried.
Maximum Fried. He was Maximum Fried net last night. You want to know why? Because my hate, me talking about the Dodgers, how much, y'all go back in the Wayback Machine, talk about how much we need to hate this team. Come together. Spirit Bomb hate this team. Oh, that Spirit Bomb basically landed right on the Yankees ass. And now you want to know why? Because me, I put that hate together. I helped you, LA Dodgers. You need to thank me and say, Rob, you and your glorious hatred, can you hate on my dynasty ass franchise? And I'm gonna say for a fee, but I'm really gonna say I'll waive that fee for you because I want you to succeed from my hatred. That's what I want you to do. I want you to basically have your success at the behest of my hate. And I am going to do that for you, pro bono. Mm. But if you want me to hate on you and your team, for you to be successful out here, for you to, like I said, have that HEH of ROB, you got to hit me up on Bruh-Migos Podcast, on all these social medias, when it's Threads, YouTube. What's got? Blue Sky. We ain't on Twitter.
Facebook.
No, fuck Twitter. Facebook. All those. You could have me hate on you. Just let me know if you need my hate. Because I am here to hate for you. That's what I'm here to do, dog. That's what I'm here to do.
And some of you may say, where do you guys get this from?
Where?
Where is this from? And I will go back into the archives and pull this.
Pull that bitch out.
What up? Last year, did you not say Chris Sale was done? Did you not say Chris Sale ain't have nothing left in the chamber? What did Chris Sale do last year, Rob?
Told my black ass I am wrong and won the Cy Young. Just won it. Just NL Cy Young winner. You could go look at that. It's right there in the history books. National League Cy Young winner Chris Sale. Didn't think that would happen. Not at all.
Rob, didn't at the beginning of this season, you said Max Fried was done. He ain't winning. He ain't got shit else. Before last night, what was Max Fried's record?
Very goddamn good. I think it was like one something.
He was 7-0 with like a 1.29 ERA.
Which is very good. Very, 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 very good.
Some of you may say, well, but he didn't succeed last night. That's where the spirit bomb of hate that Rob has for the Dodgers came into play, because he has so much more hate for the Dodgers that's how they won.
Big hate take little hate.
Bingo. And that's why you need Rob to hate on your team.
I could put this spirit bomb up. I could bring that motherfucker down on your team. Just for you, so you can have some success.
And he will bring success. She has hate.
So much hate.
And that's all brought to you by Brum Eagles Podcast. Remember, like, subscribe, tell your people about us. Now, Rob, we've gotten to the point where this has been, I will say, probably the most interesting NBA playoffs.
Yes.
And we maybe thought that would have been over the other night.
Mm-hmm. I wrote it in the sheet, like NBA Finals preview. Right after basically it was game four, I was like, yep, this puppy is done.
New York said, not tonight. Not tonight. Mm-mm. From pillar to post, led the whole way. Mm-hmm. And we get game six tonight. Mm-hmm. So, my brother.
What up, though?
Can Indiana put this away tonight, though?
Yes, they can. And it's I would say I feel more hesitant to say that they will because of what happened last game. Tyrese Halliburton nutting up and basically taking all that pressure of being one game away from the NBA Finals, basically hitting a triple single. Like, I think that's going to weigh on him a bunch. Granted, they're going to be home. They're going to basically, he's going to have his dad there. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit different than what it was for game five, being on the road, being in the Mecca, all that kind of good stuff. But with all that pressure basically weighing on all of them, because this is a young team. This is a very young team, and they haven't really been there. A lot of those guys really haven't been there at all. And so, like, with that basically weighing on them, I don't know if they'll be able to keep their mentals good to basically go ahead and close this whole series out. I think that they have the ability to, because they've shown that they were just up 3-1. If they can keep that pace, like Charles Barkley kept saying, like, if they keep the pace, they get the pace back, going back up and not try to basically fall into the more half-court-ish offense that basically New York has been doing, that they really want to keep them kind of tampered down. If they can do that, and if New York basically resorts to not hitting any shots, and those guys kind of, that basically have been coming up, where you have to talk about Shamit, where you're talking about, you know, Cat with his excellence, if they basically squander the opportunity, it can basically be to the Pacers' favor. So I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see, but I've been loving it so far.
This is the best way I can put this, and I thought about this. This is the tale of two cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Mm-hmm. We saw the worst of times for Indiana. Question is it going to keep being the worst of times tonight, right, in Indiana? Halliburton didn't have a good game. You're right. He didn't at all. And this is what I meant whenever I said I feel like they might have handed him the crown too fast of being the next up-and-coming superstar. Because he showed you his peak. It's very high. Very nice. But he hasn't filled in the valleys to get that consistency yet. Now, whenever he's going, he's going. He's on point. Like you said, tonight we got home cooking. Dad's home. Well, he's in the suites, you know. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in Indiana. Spike is probably going to be on the sideline hoping that he doesn't have another Reggie Miller meltdown. This is going to be extremely, extremely interesting. Now, what I want to say is this. At the end of the day, if Indiana doesn't put this away tonight, this might be a 3-1 comeback in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm expecting this tonight. This should be a dog fight. It should be a huge dog fight. But if New York can play defense, like they played defense the other night, if you get your Landry Shamet out there, if you get your bench people, if you get your bench people, you know, running, it could be an issue for Indiana, because Indiana will play 12 deep. Now, I'll also say this. New York could very well choke this. New York could very well choke this. Now, will they choke it? I don't know. Because New York can be New York. And y'all are so New York at times that it doesn't make sense. It's like one of them big ass rats just runs out of nowhere and just scares off everybody and y'all lose everything.
So I want to go back to what you were saying about Tyrese Halliburton getting the superstar kind of notion too early. I'm looking at his game logs, and I mean, to your point, it's kind of true when he does have ups and downs. He has high games, he has low games. You will see a 22-point game, and then you'll see a 4-point game. You'll see a 20-point game, you see an 8-point game. You see a 31-point game, then you see an 11-point game. Like, he does do that part. But it is to where I think he still is a budding superstar. I think he still has all of that kind of fire. And, like, the team, you see it. You see how they playing. Like, they are under him. Like, he is taking it. Like, we talk about with Anthony Edwards. Like, we talk about with certain guys. Like, SGA with, like, certain teams. Like, they are going as he's going. They're just not as subservient to him as, like, you would see, like, with certain superstars. But this guy is the guy for that team. And when it comes to this team, they have a lot of dudes that are basically playing well. It's just that he nutted up last game. And it does happen to certain superstars. It just, it happened to him more where basically we were paying attention to him a lot more than other times. But, like, this happens to guys. They, you know, outside of, like, a Donovan Mitchell, where he always got, like, 30-point games damn near.
Yeah.
But his team seemed like, and he runs out of gas, you know. Tyrese, I think, just had a bad game. So I don't think we were too early on him. I think he just had a bad game. And we got to kind of keep that perspective about him.
Might have just been a bad game, but his highs and lows are what worry me about him.
Yeah. But I think he's going to have a 30-point game tonight.
Hopefully, if they want to close out, I think either him or Pascal is going to have 30. Now, yes. I will say this. If they were to win, if they were to lose tonight and then win in New York, he'd be a bigger villain than Trae Young is to New York.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, if they would say they closed out in New York on, Thursday? If they closed that game out on Thursday and he's there waving to MSG, waving them out the door, oh, he's the king of New York. King of New York.
That's what my motivation would be, though. My motivation would be to be the biggest villain in New York.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, but that would be my motivation. I want to be the biggest villain in New York basketball history.
I think that's how Trae Young got his, like, Sprite commercials. Because, I mean, Trae Young, you know, he's Ice Trae, he got all this. But what basically put that little motherfucker on the map, I can't call them a little motherfucker, because he's bigger than me. But that dude, putting that dude on the map was MSG. Him basically beating the fuck out of the Knicks, getting the celebration, the ice cold celebrations. Like, that's what put him on the map.
The ball on that goddamn Knicks symbol.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I'm surprised they ain't tried to take every wheel off that bus on their way back to the hotel.
Yeah, good security.
He would have been on my mind because I'd have been like, I'm going to delay him getting back.
Yeah.
I'm about to make this sense extremely uncomfortable for him if possible. So he went out there and did that, which he's cool. If that Atlanta team matures enough, he might be putting somebody out of the playoffs next year if they mature enough.
Or if hell freezes over, either one.
Either one. With that being said, we're going to move off the hardwood to the baseball diamond. Rob has MLB's been discussing expansion. Let's start with that. They've been discussing expansion, and Rob has a place and a team name all ready for you guys. Go ahead, Rob.
See, this is a consulting fee that's really just pro bono. Like, we've been basically giving y'all a game, and we're just going to give y'all some more game MLB.
Some more.
We already got a Red Sox. We already got a White Sox. You basically are trying to put a team in Nashville. Why don't we have the Blue Sox? I'm just saying, like, you got all these stuff. Like, granted, I ain't the most patriotic motherfucker on earth, but I mean, you already got it in your logo. Every American team has it in their sports logo, red, white, and blue. No other sport has the Blue Sox. No other sport has a red, white, and blue something. So why don't y'all just go ahead, name them the Blue Sox? Nashville, I mean, it's country music, it's Grand Ole Opry, all that shit. But like, you already basically have, there's a Nashville Blues minor league team. So you can't really do that. Have the Blue Sox. You can basically have your red, white, and blue teams. You can already basically have, like, you know, all your pomp and circumstance and, you know, say like, oh, well, you know, we're tying it to Nashville in some sort of way. The Titans are, you know, blue. So it's like you already got blue teams in that area. You know, so like, let it happen. Let's bring all this together. Make a name for yourself and just call yourself the Blue Sox. I'm just saying, just put it out there. Just keep it in mind. Just keep it in your mental. Just keep it right there. Just sitting there. Just sit right there. Perch. Like, just perch right there on your temple and your mental. Just right there. Just keep it right there, all right?
That could work. That could legit work. I do think that would be interesting. Red Sox, Blue Sox.
White Sox. Red Sox, Blue Sox, White Sox.
Yeah.
So you got the White Sox versus the Blue Sox. Blue Sox versus the Red Sox.
I mean, call it the Battle of the Patriotic Sox.
Boom. Patriotism. Sockism.
Sockism.
Patriotism. Sock putchism. I'm just saying it just works. It's just right there.
It could work. It could definitely work. Next up, we have a topic that Rob has been on the fence about for a while. And we want to know, do some of you guys believe that Shohei Ohtani could legit learn to become a switch hitter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the thing with Shohei Ohtani, A, he's magic. B, he's a witch. C, he learned how to throw a sinker mid-season. Like, he basically was like, to ask one of his teammates was talking to him, showing him the sinker grip, and that motherfucker just started throwing it. Like a sinker. Granted, he already threw a splitter, which is basically like a sinking fastball anyway, but he just like, hey, I'm going to throw a sinker. I'm going to add that to my repertoire. And that's cheating. Flat cheating. Because he's on a team of cheaters, the Dodgers, which we've already discussed early on in this show. But I'm just thinking, he's already a lefty, one of the greatest lefties in baseball right now. But if he wanted to, like if he basically said, I want to basically do another side mission, could I become a switch hitter? I think yes. If he just basically said, I want to become a switch hitter, which there hasn't been anybody that became a switch hitter mid-season because it's impossible. But if there's anybody that has done impossible consistently in this league in the time that he's been in, it is Shohei Ohtani. That man has only done impossible. He's about to come back pitching soon. He already was facing live batters. I don't know if they're going to do like a rehab start or they're going to do like anything to like really get him going as far as getting back as a pitcher, or they're just going to throw him out there to major league talent, maybe like a poo-ass White Sox or like a Rockies or something like that to basically be that sparring partner for him.
I chew the Rockies.
I mean, they're so bad. They're just so bad. But like, would it be to where they going to basically have him go against a White Sox or a Rockies to basically become a switch hitter? Like, if he just like, I need to basically make sure that I can basically be against any hitter or any pitcher that's going to be on the mound, I need to basically move. I would just love to see that motherfucker try to basically be a switch hitter. Like, I think he could do it because he could do everything. But what do you think? Do you think he could, like, become a switch hitter, like, if he wanted to?
I think he could. I really think he could. I think the man's discipline is up there, and I think he can learn it. I think, like you said, he learned the sinker just mid-season. Got the grip, started throwing, let it rip. Let's go.
Just on a whim.
Yeah. And granted, like, hell, whenever he pitches, he's not going to DH, but hell, he could pitch one game against Colorado and then go bat right-handed if he wanted to the next game.
Yep. Just like, fuck it.
It's up to him.
Like, let's work this out.
Which I'm not going to lie to y'all. Whenever me and Rob say that the Rockies are trash, like,
they're so bad. I look at the Rockies record. I don't even know if they got into 10 wins yet.
Nope. Still haven't hit 10.
You bullshit.
Nope. Still haven't hit 10.
Oh my God. Like, how? 9-48.
I wonder if there's a Vegas odds on it.
Like, when are they going to hit 10 wins?
Yeah, or if they're going to hit 50 losses before they get to 10 wins. I'd put some money on that.
We're going to put a poll question on there. Like, that's a poll question. Will the Rockies hit, which will the Rockies hit first? 10 wins or 10 wins or 50 losses? Because it's close. They won away from the wins, two away from the losses. And granted, they're one of their last nine. They're one of nine in their last 10. So, I mean, you know, they're due. 177 run different, minus 177 run differential. Guys, that's bad. That's very, very, very bad. We are a quarter way through the season. These motherfuckers don't have 10 wins.
Don't have 10 wins. They know.
The next lowest is the White Sox with 18. Like,
just think about that. The second worst team has 18 wins. And it 39 losses. So they're on roughly, they're on pace at 60. They're on pace to maybe win 54 games, something like that. So Chicago is on pace to maybe win 54 games, maybe a few more. Right now, they're on pace to win 27, which is how many wins the Diamondbacks, well, 36. Which the range, which the Dodgers have 35 wins as of right now. They're on pace, technically. Colorado Rockies are on pace for the season to win 36, and the Dodgers have 35 wins. That alone, in perspective, is craziness.
Idiocy. Like, I didn't think they'd be this bad. We were talking
about this. I told you, Rob, I'm willing, the first step, and I don't know if you're willing to still ride with me on this, bro, but the first step is to turn Coors Field into a dome.
I don't know, because they've never been this bad. They've never been this bad, though. Like, we could say about this being a dome thing, they've never been this bad.
Look, though, you have to start somewhere, and I think with a climate control dome is the first thing, because, one, being outside, I'm a live on this. One, being outside has always killed them because the altitude, the air is so thin that the ball flies out there. If you look up on, like, the different stat trackers, whenever you look at Colorado, people, they bust ass. Any team with a good lineup busts ass whenever they go to Colorado.
Yeah, but to that point, one, at least they've won 2/3 of their games at home and a third on the road. That means that they need more of an exorcism than a dome.
No, Rob. They won less than a third. They have 28 games at home. No. They've won 6.
Yeah, but they've won 3 on the road. So that means that they're basically, they're not doing better on the road. So it's not the fact of the matter of these teams are basically beating their ass at home. It's that they're beating their ass worldwide. Like, this is a worldwide, like, there are women and dudes that basically get flown out to certain places, you know, that basically are, you know what, I ain't even gonna go any farther. There are people that basically get paid to get their ass whooped for a living. This is the Rockies too. Okay, this is what the Rockies are doing. They're basically being flued out to basically, they are, I'm not going to say the P word or the ostitute word. I'm just going to say that they basically are getting flown out to have a good time with another team. And that's what's happening right now. Okay, I don't know if a dome is going to be able to help that.
Whenever your harlots for hire, bro, it don't matter what could go on. Like, this is what it is with them. They can't win on the road. They can't win at home. I'm just trying to think of something that maybe we could start this winning a little bit at home and get something going. They need anything they could get, though.
And
look,
go ahead.
Baseball ain't fighting, but goddamn it, they need to treat it like they need to pinch, poke, hit a person in the eye, do your Captain Insano impression. I don't care. You need to do something to win. Look, I sat here yesterday, and before I went and got my hair cut, some of y'all don't know, I will watch 3-4, I will have 2-3 major league games up at a time. I will have both computer screens going and the TV, and I'll mute 2, and whichever one I want to know whatever's going on the most is where the sound will be, or I'll be looking in that direction or whatever. Whenever the Rockies are facing somebody, I sit here and make bets with myself on how many runs the Rockies are going to give up today. Okay. I don't even think that they're going to win. They beat the Yankees a while back and then just went on another losing streak. My uncle said it the best about the Rockies. He said, well, you know, son. Well, no, he called me Junior. So, well, you know, Junior, the sun shines on the dog's ass every now and then. And there's 162 chances that they have of it shining. Now, how many times it's going to shine on them? I don't know. But maybe it might be enough. He said, do I watch them? He said, it's a waste of my time. And I was like, I kind of feel where you're coming from, old man. You know, you could never root for a team that just loses like this. And like you said, Rob, what makes it so bad is they have half the amount of wins as the second worst team in the league that has 18.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Who owns the Rockies, though?
That's a great question.
Who owns the Rockies?
Let's do some Googling. Montfort brothers. Charles Montfort and Charlie Montfort. Charles K. Montfort and Charlie Montfort.
Well, so you've had 28 seasons as the Rockies, as the owner slash chairman and chief. Oh no. he's stealing what Rockies fans have left in their pocket, dog. No.
Just no. Thievery. I mean what I would say is the silver lining, Rockies fans, is most of your wins, half of your wins has come against the West. Or no, a third of your wins have come against the West. Or more of your wins have come against the West than anybody else.
Nah, this is thievery. He has three titles. It says that the Rockies are estimated, and this got to be due to inflation, but they say the Rockies are estimated at a near value of $1.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought them in 92 for $95
million. That could be right. Rocky. You know, wins ain't got to do shit with basically evaluation.
Yeah,
look at the Cowboys. But man, you know how that shit go. It's just it's real estate. It's real estate shit. And I mean, Colorado, Denver is high price as fuck, and probably they got a lot of real estate out there probably. So
yeah, and look, I'll say this: this is one of those things where I feel like you have to do something. It's no way that you're content with 28 years of this. There's no way.
You hardly ever see them get free agents either. Like all the people.
No, they don't.
The only people that they usually have is either like homegrown or traded. Like you'll never hear like batters wise. You never hear about free agents going there. Like not for real.
I feel like.
Like Matt Holliday was the last one I remember.
Yeah. I think Holliday. McMahon. Ryan McMahon. Yeah. They got right. McMahon, I want to say right now. Is he still there or did he leave?
He's there, but I think he's homegrown.
Yeah.
He's only played for them. Like, because they've had dudes, Trevor Story, McMahon, Cargo, Carlos Gonzalez. You know, like, they've had dudes. It's just they seem like in the last decade or so, like, they've never really gone out and gotten a, like, real big free agent, like, ever. All the cats that they have are, like, homegrown through the system dudes.
Doyle's homegrown for them too, man. I think he is.
Yeah, Doyle homegrown. Ezekiel Tovar, I think, is homegrown. Like these guys may have came from trades, but I want to say they all came through the Colorado farm system. Like to base, they all made their debut with Colorado. Like that's what it seems like they've gone with. Like DJ LeMahieu left, or Chris Bryant, but like. But when they got Chris Bryant, it was like he was like done, like basically next to done, you know, which is crazy. Like think about Chris Bryant. Like he was an MVP and Rookie of the Year back to back years, and his shit fell off drastically and never picked back up.
Yes, I don't know. This is very concerning for me. Like I don't know if I'm not gonna say that they've had 28 years of just flat out badness, but
no, it ain't been that bad. And it ain't been that though. It ain't been 28 years. It's been bad for a while. It ain't been like bad that long. Let's see. Yeah. I know we're going on tangents, y'all, and you know, it's really just more that we are befuddled and we want the best for the Rockies. Like, we don't want it to be to where for a good time call the Colorado Rockies. But they're leaving us no choice but to say such a thing. Like, they haven't had a winning record, I'm looking, since 2018, where they finished second in the West. You know, and they were in the playoffs, and they got swept by the Brewers in straight sets. But, like, yeah, they haven't had a winning record since. But,
they've been okay, and then before 2018, they were close to 500 a lot of times, but it was 2010 was the last one, and then 09, and then before 09 was 07, and then before 07, they were just above 500 in 2000. Shout out to Todd Helton. Mm-hmm. Shit, they had a couple years, a few years with Larry Walker being above 500 in the 90s. No, though. It's been rough. It's been rough these last few years. It's been kind of rough. But this 2 years before this, these 100 loss seasons, they kind of hurt. That's ouchies.
Ouchie, ouchie.
Yeah, that's ouchie, ouchies. I don't know. Maybe one day they'll shake back. We'll see. Maybe one day they'll shake back. But even though we went off on a little bit of a tangent on the Rockies, from our head scratching, just ideas of what's going on over there, to Rob's fandom of his Cardinals, he's going to tell you guys right now what he doesn't like about his fandom for his own Cardinals.
The most likely of transitions. So as y'all know, because you are very aware of the St. Louis Cardinals, they are currently 32-25. They are in the wild card, 3 games out in the Central. Team is actually been playing absolutely great, but everybody keeps, you know, would ask me, like, it even swept the Diamondbacks last week. People would ask me, like, how you feeling about your Cardinals? And every time they ask me, I would say, they're not a playoff team. And in my mind, I'm like, why the fuck do I need to keep saying that? Because, I mean, yes, even if the playoffs started, even if basically, you know, the world just basically ended and was just like, hey, we need to get whoever's in there, and that's the playoffs that we need to start. I'm still going to be in on this team. Why? Because the thing about it is they are fun. Like, they run. Victor Scott II has been a night and day improvement. Yes, Jordan Walker hasn't come on, but Mason Wynn has gotten back to that superstar. Brandon Donovan is an all-star. He's leading league. He's, like, one of the league leaders in hits, doubles. Like, he is an absolute all-star and probably is going to be our sole representative in the all-star game. But it's like, why should I basically keep thinking of myself and thinking of this team as they're not as good as they could be? When really, they're burgeoning. They didn't go out and get any free agents. They did for real. They didn't really go out and get much in the way of trades and everything like that. But they got some dudes. And whatever that's basically been happening has been working. But it's also to the fact of, I need to be less pessimistic about my team. We could be the Red Sox. But like, what I'm basically thinking is, I shouldn't be so negative on this team. I should basically think of this team as up and coming, as moving in the right direction. And I should also be positive. I should be like, if the playoffs happen today, yeah, we're going to probably catch some fire and we can go to the World Series and win that motherfucker. That's the way I should be thinking. I don't give a care if it isn't, you know, in perspective. I don't give a damn if it basically is not the right thing to do. I want to be happy about this team. And I really have everything to be happy about this team. Yes. Do our bats sometimes go quiet like they did against the Rangers last night? Yes. Can it be to where the pitcher goes haywire with Liberatore? Even though he's had a great season, another guy who I hated on that has proved me wrong. It's still to where I should be more positive about this team. And I need to basically come to y'all and give my opinions about why I need to basically be more positive about the team. Even though I'm talking about hating other teams, I don't want to bring that to my home. I don't want to have hate sitting at the heart of my home. I want to outsource my hate. I don't want my hate to fester in, okay? I don't want that. I don't want to feel like I got to hate this team like I do everybody else. I ain't got to treat them. I don't hate the things I love. I love the things, and then I hate others. That's what I do. I like to do that for me, for you, or whatever. But I just need to get better about that. And that's what I just need to come to y'all about and give my confession. This call, we could call this Brought Me Goals Confessions. You know, not like Usher, because we ain't that good. But like confessionals for y'all, just to basically say what's on our hearts for you. That's all I got. But I'm gonna go ahead.
So this is what I'm gonna say. Feel like at times your team is right there, you know, and then at other times you're like so far away. Mm-hmm. But I respect your fan. I respect your fandom, though. Mm-hmm. I respect your fandom for this. I really do. Now, dude, look, I'm gonna go in on me respecting my boy's fandom, because I really do. You've been with him through the best of times and through the worst of times
since a kid.
Even whenever it looks bad, you know, I gotta respect it. At least you're better than my other homeboy.
So much better, because his Braves are ass, and I'm gonna keep calling him ass. He should quit. He should jump off that ship head first.
Head first.
I mean, you know, just get the dive, you know. Get off the ship.
You know, and then you know, he told me, you know, in the chat, what did he tell me? That you should check in on me because the Braves will beat my Red Sox.
And then what happened?
And I told him, yeah, they lost 5-1. Lost 5-1.
Belt to ass.
And I told him, I said, hey, you might want to pray that Jesus is a Braves fan this weekend. If you think that you're going to win this series so easy. We just going to sweep y'all. Ain't no more sweep even if you wanted to. And tonight y'all deal with Walker Buehler. And y'all bringing out old Schwellenbach out here. We're going to see how that fare for y'all tonight. Even though, and look, ESPN, let me tell y'all something. I'm tired of y'all underrating my Red Sox to lose to his Braves. How y'all going to do a 64.5% chance that Atlanta's going to beat us? And they just lost 5-1 last night.
I mean, damn.
Come on now, though.
And we got
4-2 Walker Buehler on the mound tonight. Y'all acting like Schwellenbach is about to pull a Chris Sale tonight or something.
No respect. No respect.
No respect. No respect. Now, from no respect to not getting calls, Rob, I'm gonna let you give your take first on this ABS baseball system. I want to see, because I see that you put down that what's the point of having this right now? So yeah, where are you going with this one?
So there was a article that came out, like me and the New York Times last weekish. They basically talked about how automatic balls and strikes do not have a precise, like to the T precise, calls when it basically comes. So automatic balls and strikes is the challenge system that the players use for both pitchers and hitters can use to challenge the balls and strike calls at the plate. So we've seen this kind of technology with tennis. We've seen it with VAR with soccer when it comes to the angles that the camera takes and showing where a ball went. So whether it crossed the line, whether it landed on a certain part of the ground, all that. So automatic balls and strikes has been used in minor league baseball. I've seen it like in action, basically a tap on the head saying like ready for a review. And then they basically do that. We've also said that like on the show, the automatic balls and strikes would be something good for Major League Baseball.
Yes.
But the thing about the article said was it's close to a half an inch of margin of error when it comes to automatic balls and strikes. So that could be half an inch inside the strike zone, half an inch out. But the fact that there is a margin of error, is this something that is better than saying, you know, you're wanting to have an umpire, you know, cause, yeah, is something that basically can mean the difference of a World Series game, a league championship game, like a really high stakes playoff game. Can this mean our team getting into the playoffs if this thing is wrong? Because even if there is a margin error, yes, things have margin error, nothing is perfect, blah, blah, blah. But if basically you keep talking about how umpires don't get shit right, and you want to have this system that basically is going to be there so they can get shit right, but the system itself has inherent flaws to it, doesn't that hurt the validity of said system? I think it has to. Because if you're telling me that I basically see that the ball is off the plate. I basically tap my head and it challenged, and the ball is not off the plate. It actually was on the plate, but you're basically saying it's off the plate because of the margin of error that the ball was from the plate and everything like that. Should this be something that's there? I don't think so. It's like, part of me is like, if this shit can't get it absolutely perfectly right, I don't think it should be there at all. It has to be precise, because if you're not going to say that it's precise, then it's the same thing as the umpires. Because the umpires give wiggle room. They have, I think they have like some level of wiggle room that they're given as far as saying how they can basically call balls and strikes right then and there. Anyway, why are you giving the system the same thing when it's supposed to be better than the umpires? That's what I ask.
Yeah. Now, I believe that I think that the system is there. It does have flaws. But here's my problem with the system. It's that one every now and then. And I feel like there's more than one every now and then error. Now, you may say, Price, how are you going to say that it's more than one every now and then error? Well, Price is going to tell you how he can say that it's more than every one now and then error. Watching the game the other night, you know, and John Bacon, me and you are now going to have our discussion upon a strike that was called against Ellie De La Cruz. That was about 4 inches off the plate. Now, you confidently ragged him up and said that it was out. And Ellie's looking like, really? And I'm looking like, really? And I'm pretty sure everybody else was like, really? And even the announcer at the time said, that's a bit out there. Uh-huh. And the reason I say this is somebody had just used this the inning before, tapped their head, got it reversed. But then there was no more tap, okay? My thing is, I feel like every player should get one. Like Spider-Man told Peter Griffin, everybody get one, okay? Once you use your one, is whether or not if you get another one. Kind of like the challenge system in the NBA. Uh-huh. If you're right, you go ahead, you keep that. If you're wrong, I take it. I kind of like to call it the shut up, no challenge me. Or the you might be right on this one type system.
Yeah.
If Ellie could have tapped, that would have been a ball. We go to 3-2 full count. But because he couldn't, ragged him up, told him to sit down. Now, I'm just using this one as an example, John Bacon. Because I'm not gonna forget your name, because they were like, Bacon might be wrong with that one. And I was like, Bacon is wrong with that one. It's like Bacon is very wrong without. Yeah. But I think, Rob, that whenever they're going to do this, I think that they can minimalize the margin error because baseball has that much money. But then I also think that we need to come up with a different system of how many times they can challenge this. Like I said, everybody get one. If you lose, you don't get to use your one no more. But if you win, you get to keep your one and use it one more time.
Yeah.
Because on average, we get about, everybody gets 3 at-bats on average. That's 27 outs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm thinking everybody should get one. And if you win on that one, you get to keep your one for a second chance. You get a 2 out of 3 if you win on the first one. If not, you lose your one. So, but the amount in them fine tuning the technology needs to be reworked. Because I still see some of these, for example, maybe Mr. Bacon, and I think this is the same game that you got, took a shot to the gonads. Maybe you were seeing double when then you made this call. I don't know, but things happen. Everybody ain't perfect, Rob. But I feel like they need to give all of the batters at least one. Because there's some questionable calls at times.
Yeah.
Some very questionable calls.
Yeah.
And I know some of y'all are saying, well, you're an at-home umpire. You're damn right I am. Because I'm watching from behind the pitcher to the strike zone.
Uh-huh.
They haven't given the umpire one of those views yet.
Yeah. I mean, they just don't. We don't get it consistently. They have, like, the umpire count. for certain shit. Like, it just, we just don't get it.
Oh, no. I know he got one from behind the plate, but he need one from behind the pitcher too.
Just basically like to look, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea. Like, just have like a side view where it's like, you get the, basically the strike zone right there. And so kind of can square it up. Like, I wouldn't be against that.
But see, and that's my thing with the ABS thing, because I feel like, you know what I think part of the margin of error problem is with that thing? The heights of different batters.
Yes. I can see that.
Because I watched the Ozzy Albies, which is our homeboy's breed. Uh-huh. I watched him finagle. It was a 2-0 count, and he hit a home run on the next pitch. But I'm watching him because he did something that I said it's kind of slick. He lowered his stance about just about that much. And whenever he did that, he was like, boom. And I was like, on a regular side, sitting in a regular stance, that's a strike. There has to be some sort of way for whenever they come to the plate, that thing loads up and says, okay, he stands like this. This is his strike now. This is where I need to be looking. I think that that's the next level of this. Every person, and I know it's a shit ton of batters, but I feel like if they can program computers, if they can make a Tesla drive, and I know somebody's going to say this isn't the same thing. If they can make this Tesla follow lines and stuff, they should be able to snapshot a batter strike zone. And whenever he stepped to the plate, that one loaded and it said, boom, this is his strike zone. Yeah. And go from there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like LiDAR support or whatever, basically have it to where you can see like the differences in, you know, like you can put probably sensors on like the guy's elbows or something where basically it's like, okay, you're here. Because it's letters to the knees, mainly. Or you can put it from like letters to like the knees.
Yeah.
And have it like that. Like just some kind of sensor that shows like, okay, where a batter is and then where they're going to be standing.
Yeah. I just need that. Because I need every batter to get one. If everybody gets one, I'm fine with it. Let everybody get a chance. Even the little guy. Even the guy who batting 190-something. Give him a shot.
Right.
Because that 190-something might not be him. And I do feel like if they did this, I think we're going to see a slight tick up in some people's batting averages and a slight tick down maybe in others. But it would be more of what I call a true batting average, kind of with, you know, less wiggle room of, oh, he gets calls because he's that dude, you know? Like, because I literally looked at Aaron Judge sometimes, take a strike that they call a strike. All right.
Yeah.
I just want a true batting average and not to get swindled about a calls.
Right.
Because I feel swindled even sometimes and somebody be like, but you're not batting. Shut up. I feel swindled. Okay. I literally feel swindled some days. like
they screwing me, they screwing them.
Yeah. Like they heard me the other day whenever they called like this bad strike against Jose Ramirez. And I was like, really? And I was like, I ought to march down to Cleveland right now. Like I was on one of them boats that day. I was like, I'm marching to Cleveland right now. Like, don't worry, J Ram. We gonna protest this
one. We gonna do this together.
Yeah. We're going to do this together. And I know you'd have been like, I take fan support. And I'd have been like, hell yeah.
Let's go.
Because I was mad. I was hot. But we have one more subject to talk about with you guys. This is concerning the world of boxing. And to be more specific, Olympic boxing and women. I don't want to mess up her name, Rob. Her name is Iman
Khalif.
Khalif. All right. Iman Khalif, I know that some of you guys should know, she was in the controversy of whether she was a man or a woman. Okay. And now boxing, Olympic boxing, is going into a whole upturn of, we want to actually test the chromosome, see if you're actually a woman or man. Now, this is where me and Rob have a slight issue with this. Okay. Just a slight issue. Nothing major.
That's pretty major.
The actual issue is major. But we just want to ask some of y'all, do y'all know where Iman Khalif is from? Okay. I don't think some of the people know where she's from. Rob, would you let the people know
she's from? She's an Algerian boxer.
Okay. So, an Algerian boxer. Rob, can you let the people know some of the things gender-wise that the Algerians don't play about.
So they do not play about transgender anything. Like, they're not into gender affirming care. They're not into any of that shit. So it's like, to say that this person is transgender, complete fallacy that they would have her represent them.
Okay. Now, I know it's going to be one person, because this is probably going to be a clip, and somebody's going to say something like, well, how do you know what they're into? You're going to be on your high horse, and if I could, I'd trip you and your horse. So, let me tell you about this. Algerians do not play about gender. Secondary, you can't act like you've never seen a mannish woman. Okay. First example, have any of you not seen Brock Lesnar's daughter?
It's her daddy's daughter. That woman looks just like her daddy. And nothing against her. This is not that anything. It's just that basically the fact of some women look like their daddies. And it's not a bad thing. You are what you look like. We could talk about a lot of things we don't have in our control. But like, that's one of the things that it seemingly is going against Iman Khalif when it comes to this. It's, she looks like this. She is this size. And so we are going to discriminate her and basically lie and say that she is something that she's not. And it's complete bullshit.
Complete and utter bullshit. And then some of you say, well, you only use one example of Brock Lesnar's daughter. Have you guys never seen Gabby Garcia? She's like 9-time Pan American Jiu-Jitsu champion. If the average person tried to wrestle her, she'd probably twist you up into a pretzel and throw you on a plate that probably says Wetzel or Auntie Annie's.
Like it'll a cartoon. Be your choice. Like a straight up cartoon.
Yes. She has a feminine face with mannish features and has shoulders of a Greek god. Okay? You can try her if you want. She's 100% female. She has gotten beat by a male in grappling. But she has mannish features. You cannot act like this does not happen in the world. This happens. This is something that is utterly out of line. To me, it's a knock to women that are women. I understand what you guys are trying to do. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand what you're trying to do. But whenever I look at Algeria and I know what they're about, this is one of the few places I think that I have to worry about. Oh, are they sending a person who's in between? No.
This is not some, oh, is she's skirting the line and she's got something that, you know, like some level of advantage. No, there's no advantage here. There's nothing. She's a woman. She was born a woman. There's pictures of her as a little girl. There's a country that basically has all these rules about what you can and can't do. Why are you keep saying that this is a woman? This is not a woman. Why do you keep basically going at this certain thing? I don't understand it. And like Nate said, it feels like this is basically discrimination because of how she looks. If she was somebody that would have very soft features, this and that, that you wouldn't basically do these kind of things to her. You wouldn't treat her in this kind of way. World Boxing, who basically the IOC, let me go back to the article, basically said or the IOC basically cut ties with them because of like what their stances were and what basically they were doing and like what kind of control they seemingly lost. You're basically trying to make this a witch hunt. And this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. And the shit gotta stop. You can't just keep saying, hey, no, this one's a guy, this one's a girl, this is a guy fighting as a girl. No, this is not. This is a woman fighting as a woman. That is, stop trying to make this something that is absolutely not and making it to where, oh, we're trying to level the playing field, level the... No, you guys are trying to make this shit a witch hunt. You guys are trying to discriminate. And these are real people. This is not some fictitious game or anything like that. These are real people. And you guys need to stop fucking with these real people.
Bro, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that if she had a face like Selma Hayek, she could be knocking people out like Mike Tyson, then they wouldn't test her.
No.
I'm willing to go out there on the
limb. No, they just call her a strong woman. They'd be like, she'd probably basically be on all the magazines, like, look at this dominant force. Like, no, man, like, y'all gotta stop bullshitting about this. And it really does have to stop.
It does. And we want you guys to stop this and actually look into what goes on in some other countries. And look, pay attention to who you hate on and what you actually go after, because sometimes you're barking at the wrong tree completely and you're not even in the blast radius of the bomber where you really need to be.
No.
This woman just needs to be allowed to box. And look, if she hit hard, she hit hard. Y'all right. Just got a deal.
And like that, like all these other fighters have been able to fight her and all these things. She's won matches, she's lost matches. She's not undefeated. Like the one, if basically that one Italian woman that basically curled up and said, "I'm fighting a man," didn't basically do that shit, we would be in a very much even keel place. But that woman basically did that, tried to make a point. And which still was like something that basically people saw fallacies even in her case. It's like, nah, man, like, let's stop this. We gotta stop this bullshit. We really do. Become decent again. If you ever were decent, yeah, maybe we've just sunk in more deeper into indecency that I can't really condone. I just really can't.
Yes. I can't condone y'all doing this because you know who's who, and you know if they're a man and they don't belong in this. You know this. She's clearly a woman. Let her do her thing, you know? Like, let her do her thing. Let her go be great.
Correct.
Never know. She might be the next chick to come out and decide, hey, I'm going to go pro. I'm going to do my thing. Let her do her thing. Let her do what she wants to do. IOC, get your shit together. That's all me and Rob saying. That's all we're saying. That's it. Because we love boxing. Which, gonna have a little boxing news coming to y'all probably next week. Got some things I'm gonna want to talk about that's coming up, and things that have been said about people in upcoming fights and whatnot. But we'll save that for next week. Now, with that being said, we are Bruh Me Goes Podcast. Robin said it a million times. You look up in the sky, you might find us up there. Blue Sky, Facebook, everywhere, iHeart, Spotify. You can listen to us. You can watch us here on YouTube. You can do your thing and get some of Bruh Me Goes Podcast. We have hours of content entertaining me and Rob, him and Jarvis recently. Just come give us a try. You know, come mess with the Bruh Me Goes.
Check with us.
Yeah, check with us. You know, check with us. And you'll like what you see. And then you can tell your people and your people's people and your people's people's peoples about us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Call them all, Robert.
It's so many equations.
I called them all, but I made sure I got them all. But anything you want to say before we get up out of here?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Still peace to St. Louis. It's still recovering. But yeah, man, have a good weekend. Like, glad you guys come watch us. Glad we were able to give y'all some laughs, hopefully, and, you know, just chill with your boys. Come back next week. We'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here. Same place, same time. We're out. Peace.
Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bruh Me Goes Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.